Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, July 15th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, we have gold today, a little pressure, still holding around that 13, close to the 1330 level, down 730 today. 730 at 1328. Silver was down 22 at 20.15. Platinum was down 14 at 1,092. And palladium was down 2 at 651. The USDX today was trading slightly higher, 0.40 at 96.51. Crude oil was up 0.27 at 45.95. And the paper markets today, they were all positive earlier in the day. The Dow managed to stay high about 9 points, 18,515. The NASDAQ was down 5 at 5,029, and the S&P was down 2 at 2161. So both the Dow and the S&P were able to hold their gains for the week, their records. The euro still 111, even though it's down 0.39. The 10-year yield, that's moving up 1.59% at 0.06 to the upside, and foreign markets were basically all up overnight, which is interesting, certainly because of what we'll touch on this on top before we get to the rest of the financial news that we have, Al. I would expect there was the situation in France. A terror attack. The French killer was not on a terror list, but he certainly used the tactics, Al, of
Islamic State tactics,
yes.
According to a report from Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm.
It says a French-Tunisian attacker killed 84 people.
Well, you know what? Let me just add that to 84. There's like 25 people that are on life support system.
So the number will
go
up.
And there's another 50, I believe, that are in critical condition. So.
Well, then, more than likely, before this is done, this guy will have single-handedly have killed over 100 people.
Probably.
And it's, great tragedy, the rest of that sort of thing. But it's also, it's interesting from the perspective of, we hear about, oh my gosh, we've got to get rid of rifles because it makes for mass killings. You don't need a rifle to kill a mass of people. All you need is a big truck, all right? There's a bunch of ways that if you can find a crowd, and that's one of the, that's one of the implications here. And the interesting thing, one of the interesting things about this, it says the truck driver was described as a lone French Tunisian criminal who became depressed when his wife left him. Okay? That's what this was about. At least that's what the police claim. I don't know. You know, the police killed this guy, so apparently they got him into a position where he could talk a little bit before he was shot and killed. But he told somebody that he was depressed because his wife left him. So this was really an exercise in mental illness.
Well, I don't think they really know yet, or I don't believe they'd be really seeing the details at this point in time.
I understand that, and a lot of this stuff we'll never know. This is just a report. This happened on Bastille Day in Nice, France. A lorry sped for 2 kilometers, killing 84 people, including 10 children. Driver produced a gun before being shot dead by police on the seafront. Driver named Mohamed Lahoukis, whatever. Boulay, a criminal career criminal known to the police, but more than likely also a Muslim, judging from the name they had there. And the reason that's interesting to me is because there have been a couple of studies in Europe, one in England, another one in Scandinavia. I don't remember if it was Norway or Sweden. But they studied the consequences, the genetic consequences, of one of the tendencies and cultural artifacts of the Muslim faith, and that is to marry your first cousin. Muhammad married his first cousin, so the Muslims seek to emulate Muhammad by marrying their first cousin, which is essentially forbidden in the Jewish and Christian faiths. And the result is, and they've been doing this for centuries, and the result is, according to studies, that they are now mentally and physically impaired on a genetic level. And this isn't something that's going to take a Diet Coke with an Alka-Seltzer or something, and it's going to cure the problem. This is a genetic problem. They have inbred to such a degree that they are more prone to mental illness, more prone to physical diseases, allegedly don't have very good night vision, and we're bringing them into the country. And there's a lot of people say, you can't stop the Muslims from coming in because that would be a deprivation of the freedom of religion. Yeah, but you can stop them on the basis of posing a health hazard.
But you know what? Newt
makes that argument relative to this French Tunisian. I don't know that it's true, but he's claiming that he was, or at least according to reports, he was depressed when his wife left him. Well, you know.
Well, she might have said that just so she gets out of the hot seat, too. You know, because they do, you know, I mean, you know, it's, who knows what their mentality, you know, what, you know.
Oh, and somebody does something like this. I mean, there's no telling what's going on there.
But there
Everybody's
was video.
Everybody's going to jump in there. Everybody has their own axe to grind, including me. And some people are going to argue the guy was possessed by demons. And somebody's going to claim he ate too much seafood or he got into some sort of green algae or something in the Mediterranean. I mean, everybody will use this. Crisis is a terrible thing to waste. We don't know what the truth of the matter was.
Probably.
Other than it appears that several score of people have died so far, and odds are we're going to see several score more before this is done. If it's true that there's 25 on intensive care and another 25 or so that are on critical list, we're going to see, you know, this guy, by the time this is done, will have killed over 100 people without a firearm.
There are videos, they believe, online, whether it be Facebook or whatever, where they actually show how to best use a vehicle. And they mentioned that he was driving sort of crazy and so forth, and that is part of the what this video was actually explaining and showing, is how you zigzag to get the most victims. And I mean, it's just sick. No, they are demon possessed. I don't care what anybody says. For something to do that, they're sick. But what's interesting too is we just had our July 4th, and there was, you know, I don't know, there was, you know, scuttlebutt or some commentary saying that there was a possibility, and everybody was kind of on alert here for the 4th, but yet here you have them celebrating their holiday, which is similar. And it's just.
What do you mean by they? They who are celebrating. What are we talking?
They were celebrating Bastille Day.
Oh, Bastille Day in France. Okay.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So, you know, it's so you wonder if some of that scuttlebutt, you know, if there was any really sort of connection between the two and somehow.
Well,
that's
the connection
my...
is that there were a bunch of people out on the street as part of the celebration, and you can hit more people in a crowd than you can when there's only two people walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've got 100 people or 1,000 people or whatever, it's a lot easier to hit them than there is if there's just, you know, the streets are essentially empty.
So, what's next, Al?
Oh, we got another one. Today is the Day of Rage. All right. This is from the Daily Sheeple. It says, warning, Day of Rage protests are scheduled for July 15th. That's today. In these American cities, and they give a list of cities where they're going. It says, considering how co-opted these movements are and the violence that's already broken out during recent protests, it's better to steer clear of what, by all appearances, will be just more manufactured violence with paid agitators. There's a war in America right now, black versus white, citizens versus police officer. Race grievances have become an industry, and business is booming. The rage is boiling over across the nation. First videos emerged showing the graphic deaths of two black men at the hands of the police with what appears to be no reason. Protests erupted over these deaths, and they became violent as one man shot 11 police officers and two citizens at a rally at Dallas, Texas, killing five. That sparked a war on law enforcement officers and a nationwide spree of violence against cops. Some people are even more extreme, declaring open season on white people in general. The hacktivist group, claiming to be anonymous, you've probably all heard the name Anonymous, associated with some group of activists that work by computers, basically. Somebody claiming to be anonymous is now calling for a nationwide Day of Rage protest on Friday, July 15th, today. The video, however, is not on the official Anonymous YouTube channel. So it may be that we're having something like a false flag. Somebody claiming to be anonymous, part of that group or representing that group, is... has posted a video asking for these demonstrations today, and maybe it's a false flag operation. Who knows who's really posting these videos? Being anywhere near these protests greatly increases the chance that you could become a victim of violence. When the mob mentality takes over, normally decent people can commit heinous acts. And people who aren't normally decent can also commit heinous acts. And they present a list of places not to be on the 15th. This is a list of cities, and the proposed demonstrations in each of these cities starts at the earliest 4 o'clock this afternoon, and I assume it means 4 o'clock their time that at that locality. And it goes on to perhaps 7 o'clock tonight. Some demonstrations in some places will start as late as 7 o'clock, according to this list. And it says Phoenix, Tucson, Little Rock, San Francisco, Oakland, Los Angeles.
Well, they're
Denver,
just your major
Washington,
cities.
DC. Yeah, that's
it's
basically
just your major cities.
Yeah, but
the thing of it is,
Dallas.
This is posted on their website. We're not sure it's really
we don't know that it's
credible.
Gonna happen.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, it's credible in the sense that someone is calling for this, but is anyone going to show up?
Not.
That's the question. Because if they do, if this alleged Day of Rage, which is supposed to start maybe in some cities right about now and later on, a couple of hours later as you go through the time zones, if it turns out that this is a national day of outrage, all right, and we have fires and all the rest of that sort of thing, if that happens, then the problem we're facing is going to be amplified. On the other hand, if most people say, hey, I ain't going out there, I'm getting myself shot with a bunch of crazy people demonstrating downtown Milwaukee or someplace, if there's really not much of a crowd and not much happens, then we can conclude that the rage, if there is rage, has been kind of worked out of our system. So in the next several hours, you know, before 10 o'clock tonight, we're going to see some news reports that either something extraordinarily violent is taking place or maybe this whole thing is kind of just they called for a day of rage and nobody showed up, or somewhere in between. What do you think, Melody? We're going to get mass civil disobedience around the country?
Well, I'm not sure.
Any response whatsoever, or somewhere in between?
I'm not sure who actually follows Anonymous, you know.
Well, it doesn't matter. There are people who follow anybody who gives them a pretext to riot.
Well, they've already had sorts of peaceful demonstrations throughout the week in various places, and some not so much peaceful, but I don't know. It's just nuts. It's crazy.
It's one
people
of those
need
things.
To stay home. And
this is calling for nationwide civil disobedience.
Well,
riot.
I do know one thing. This
That's
country, it's pretty
it
hard. It's
not?
Pretty hard to get anybody organized in this country. So
no,
I can really don't imagine
organization.
Pardon?
Riots don't require organization.
Yeah, well,
riots just require a certain amount of energy.
People still have to read in order to know about it, and I doubt very few go. Now they might go to other places, but so we'll have to see. I mean, we do know where a lot of the money comes from. It comes from a lot of these organizations that want to see, you know, the violence. They want to see things shaken up. They want to see things happen. So, and George Soros is one of them. You know, he funds the Black Lives Matters, and all the way from the beginning of Ferguson. It's pretty much where all this, you know, has started. And he was right there with his billions of dollars going, well, I don't think he spent billions, but funneling money into that organization. And so it's crazy, but it is what it's here.
An article here from Market Slant that's entitled, Fed to Savers, You Are Stupid. Now, in fact, that title seems inappropriate for the article. The article is just a collection, a couple of graphs and one statement. It doesn't really say too much directly to people who save their money. But one of the Flexstein Capital has a quote on here that says, absurd central bank policies are popular because debtors of all stripes vastly outnumber savers or net lenders. Among private individuals, net debtors outnumber net savers by about 10 to 1. Now, I don't doubt that for a minute, but I hadn't heard it before, and I think it's a powerful insight. This world is composed primarily of debtors. And that's why they love to see the Federal Reserve cause inflation and low interest rates, because they can borrow money and go into debt with a minimum amount of payment. And even if they can manage, if government can cause inflation, they can even repay their debt with cheaper dollars. So debtors love this idea. They love much of what the Federal Reserve is doing, if they even think about it. But clearly the Federal Reserve's policy has been for 100 years to favor debtors. It's caused inflation for 100 years, and that inflation has always favored debtors because they can pay off their debts with cheaper dollars. But seeing that the debtors outnumber savers by about 10 to 1 is interesting information, because it means that 10 out of every 11 people, if we go into real economic turmoil, they are going to be without savings. They're going to be virtually helpless and starving in pretty short order in the event of a real worst case scenario. That's always the least likely probability, but just the same. The ones who might get through are the ones who are saving, and also maintaining their savings in a form that they'll be able to access. If your savings are in the form of U.S. bonds, for example, or corporate bonds, or maybe even bank accounts, such savings may not do you much good. If your savings are in the form of something tangible like gold or silver, you may be able to do well in the event of a real dislocation in this country. Let's take a break for some commercials, and Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk, and I can hear myself talking there for a moment. I hate that when that happens. Sometimes it happens on the internet, sometimes it just happens. But in any case, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We're talking about a little article from Market Slant, and the headline is irrelevant. Fed to Savers, you are stupid, but it does talk about savings, and again, Tark mentioned absurd, this is from Fleckenstein Capital. It says absurd central bank policies are popular because debtors of all stripes vastly outnumber savers or net lenders. Among private individuals, net debtors outnumbers net savers by about 10 to 1. Now, one of the things about this, we live in a debt-based monetary system. The whole thing is based on debt. We have no shortage of debtors. That's a fact. All right. But who is going to provide the capital to borrow, to lend to the debtors? If only 1 in 11 people is actually a net saver, and he has to provide, in theory, he's the one who is providing enough for the other 10 out of 11 to borrow. It doesn't take a lot of sense to see, you know, we're going to run out of these guys that are savers. They are going to become increasingly rare. And what happens when there's nobody left who saves their money? There's a point in time where I don't know how big it has to be, but and it's certainly not true that individual savers like myself and Melody and whatever, we are carrying, each of us are carrying 10 debtors. Because the government is laying out lots of the money that's going to the debtors, and there's other sources besides individuals. But still, if there's only one saver for every 10 debtors, you can see that we are headed for a difficult situation. They've got another graph down here in the same article. It says, who owns our debt? And they follow the debt held by the public from 1970 to 2011. This is five years is the maximum information is 5 years old here. But in 1970, the national debt was $283 billion. 1970 translates into 46 years ago. The debt was $283 billion. 5% of it was held by foreigners, and 95% was held by Americans. $283 billion is something like 5%, if I'm doing the math correctly in my head, of the today's national debt of $20 trillion. All right. Matter of fact, maybe it's no. Well, in any case, it's a fraction. I get confused by, you know, I used to do well in mathematics, but you get to a point in time where the brain does not wish to do mathematics anymore. In 1990, our debt was $2.4 trillion, roughly 10%. Less than 10%, but roughly 10% of what we have today. Foreign holdings were 19% of the national debt, and 81% were united for American people. 2011, $9.7 trillion was the national debt. It has doubled since 2011. In 5 years, our national debt has doubled. Foreign holdings are 46%. The American people are 54%. The evidence, we're not paying this. You know, it used to be they said, well, we could borrow the money because we owe it to ourselves. We don't owe it to ourselves. We owe it to foreign countries, at least to a substantial degree. Or foreign lenders. Here's another graph that they have here. Debt is projected to grow faster than the economy. Debt held by the public from 1790 to 2040. Historical, we are 74% of the debt is 70, at least was 74% of the economy, the GDP in. Well, I guess right now is what they're claiming, 2015, but they're projected to go up to 100% or more, and I don't even trust the figures. I think it'll go greater than that. Yeah, more debt than we have production. Debt is projected to grow faster than the gross domestic product. Right? How long can that continue before this whole thing blows up in everybody's face? And these are the sorts of things that, assuming the information is accurate, valid, properly interpreted, you know, it's just another one of those things you say, oh my gosh, this thing's going to go down. I don't know when. Maybe this year, maybe not for 5 years. Don't know when it's going to happen. But you can see the end of the line on this thing. We can't continue the way we are. What's next, Melody?
Well, speaking of debt, before I go into my little special today, the government's budget deficit for the soon-to-end fiscal year will hit $600 billion. That's an increase of $162 billion over last year's tally. And,
who's going to pay the debt?
Who's going to pay it?
Yeah.
It's
too big to be paid right now. They keep adding more to it. Sooner or later, somebody's going to figure this out, and they're going to say, I'm not lending you any more money. You can't pay the debt you've got right now.
What I wanted to say about this, too, it just goes to show there's no restraint. It doesn't matter. It's like they're going to, you know, we talk about it on this program. You have a little bit stronger view than I do that the government can't, you know, do a lot of these things because they don't have the money anymore. And I think they'll just keep doing until it collapses on them they're unable to do it, but they're going to do it as much as they can. And again, this just shows it doesn't really matter. You know,
it's not even where it doesn't just matter. It's worse than that. It does matter. Because
well, I mean, it does matter, but it
monetary system, and they treat debt as wealth. The government goes deeper into debt because in a debt-based monetary system, it is presumed to be a form of wealth, and more debt translates into, in theory, a higher standard of living. But it's crazy. It's insane. Sooner or later, somebody's going to say, hey, could you please pay me the money you owe me? And the government's going to say, sorry, we don't have any money. We're broke. And then the whole thing falls down. The only way this system works is if we go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. And we can't. There has to be an end to it. And when we get to that end, there is going to be calamity. So it's not even where it's, we'll go into debt, doesn't matter. No, they have to go into debt. If they stop going into debt, we don't have enough currency to run this system.
What I wanted to say, Al, and I couldn't finish, is it doesn't matter.
That was because Frank interrupted you.
What?
That was because Frank, the producer, interrupted you.
Yeah. I know. He has to quit that.
Frank,
it doesn't matter how much debt that they create. They're just going to keep creating it. And you're right. And then what you said is absolutely true. And, already the White House came out. They're predicting growth of 2.2% this year instead of the 2.7% growth that was predicted in the February budget. But the part that really upset me the most is the Office of Management and Budget, Sean Donovan, said in a blog post accompanying the report, the president's budget builds on that progress. It makes critical investments in our domestic and national security priorities. And it's like, are you kidding me? National security priorities, really? Critical investments, really? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just...
It's a kind of madness, and we are all... This is like that story about the emperor wearing all the invisible clothing, and the emperor, boy, he's just the coolest dude around. Look at that invisible cape he's wearing, and all the rest. And some little kid comes up and says, "Hey, that guy's nude." Right? We are in a world like that right now. It's not just an interesting little fairy tale or myth. That's the way the world is. And the vast majority of the people of the world, certainly the people of this country, they don't see what's going on. The emperor is nude. We are treating debt as if it's wealth. That's insane. And yes, it continues. Everybody just quietly goes along with it. Sooner or later, that little boy is going to show up and he's going to say, "Hey, that guy is walking around the nude." And then the people are going to say, "Oh my gosh, this is such a shock. This is so surprising." It's been right there. You can see it if you look at it. Open your eyes, open your ears. You can see what's going on. If you hear.
Remember in the 70s they had the streaker?
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. He's streaking all over the place. Do you really remember, Al?
Yes, I do.
What a streaker was.
Yes, I remember. I was actually sitting in a bar one time. Some woman streaked through the bar. All right? And I remember this. This goes back 50 years ago or something like
70s.
That.
70s.
No. I don't even know. I don't know if it was that late. I'm thinking it was 60s. But
no, it was 70. It was 70s.
Well, even so. Even so. All right. 45 years ago. Whatever.
50 just sounded bad, Al.
It was kind of a just conventional little bar. It wasn't anything too big or fancy. And we were sitting there having a beer. Got off work. It might have got off work early, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. And some woman runs through the bar butt naked. All right? And everybody sees it. And everybody's kind of in shock. They don't know what to do or say or anything else. I can remember it was like, it was just strange. It was like everybody just shut everybody's lights off right then. Oh my gosh, naked woman running through the bar.
Well, I remember the baseball games. It was popular, for streaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you do not know what streaking is, well, you're too young. You're very young. You're younger than we are. So anyway, we had U.S. retail sales that increased in June as consumers showed supposedly a little more confidence, if you believe the reports. More spending than saving. Sales rose 0.6% last month, driven by big gains at home improvement and garden retailers. Home Depot did well. They enjoyed their largest monthly gain in 6 years. Economists had expected sales to inch 0.1% higher. The consumer has grown more willing to part with cash on signs that the U.S. economy is on the mend. So they're the ones that will be shocked when they see the naked emperor.
We got an article here from Bloomberg, and the headline is Monetary Policy is Doing Serious Damage. This is according to Folkerts Landau. I don't even know who they are. Somebody wrote a report. Loose central bank policies may not only have run their course, but are now causing harm, according to Deutsche Bank's chief economist. Presumably, Folkerts Landau is Deutsche Bank's chief economist. And, you know, with all the trouble Deutsche Bank has, they're a good one to be giving advice and rendering criticism. But nevertheless, one of the biggest banks in the world, and they say, look, central bank policies have not only run their course, but now causing harm. They go on, they say, monetary policy has reached its limits. Monetary policy is that which can, that's in the, under the control of the central banks. Fiscal policy is under the control of the government. Monetary policy is interest and money supply. Fiscal policy is tax rates and spending, all right, and borrowing by the governments. It says that, in fact, it's at a point where it's doing serious damage. We've tried everything in the last 6 years via central bank policy to stimulate demand, and we haven't succeeded. Now we're just at the gates of thinking about helicopter money to make it work. It raises this real question. What's at the base of this lack of aggregate demand? And that's the problem. People aren't buying the stuff. You know, I think maybe the answer to that question, at least in part, has to do with homes. The U.S. economy was, up until 2000, 2007, 2008, was to a significant degree based on the construction and sale of homes. And we got into that that had been so amplified and hyped 2004, 5, and so on. They were selling homes to people, subprime borrowers who couldn't even qualify for a mortgage, and they were getting homes anyway. Some people were, they were making, the prices of homes were constantly going up. People were investing in additional homes, not just the one they lived in. They might have a second home, a third home, a fifth home. All right? They were making money on those homes. It may be that we kind of got the home thing out of our system after the collapse. It may be that people just say, you know, after I got burned so bad, after I had five homes and it burned me badly, I don't know that I want another home. Now, I'm just speculating, but what's at the base of this lack of aggregate demand? Something happened. And the people of the United States and the people of the world aren't buying all the stuff that's available, and they can't seem, and the government can't seem to persuade us. They can lead us to water, but they can't make us drink. We won't borrow to go deeper into debt. So what's going to do, what's going to stimulate that, Melody?
Well, I mean, they used everything they had to, for the, you know, private, you know, purchasing out there. But if we go back to when we were talking about bubbles earlier in the week, if we, you know, the housing was a bubble. And this time, the granddaddy of all bubbles is government stimulus. So, as, so until that breaks, you're not going to find any other creative wealth or purchasing in any other sector because the money is being funneled into the bubble of the government stimulus. So that's where the money is going.
People will bite.
But they can't bite because all the other bites that we've had through all of these other recessions, it was not real. It wasn't real that we came out of these recessions. The consumer was manipulated through low rates and everything else in order to do their purchasing. So, and those bubbles were created.
It may be that the public is simply getting too smart for the government.
Nah.
But, now, I know how hard that
we
is.
We got to go to break, Al, on that one.
I know how hard that is to believe, but it may be that without being able to articulate, they still think this is a trap. I'm not going into it. Let's take a break. Commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
I got a nice little special for you silver buyers, 90% silver, and it's a $50 face value. It includes all your shipping costs. Basically, you're paying about 75 cents over spot. So it's a pretty inexpensive way to pick up some silver. We are limited at this price. So make sure you call us right away, $50 face value, 90% silver. You're paying about 75 cents over spot, and that total price is $775, and that includes your shipping costs. So give us a call at 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 75 cents over spot, folks. Pretty good deal. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. I just wanted to say, before you go on about the middle class, because I think that's important too, but on Thursday you had the French President Hollande. He was asked about the former European Commission's president's decision to work for a U.S. investment bank. And this guy's name was José Manuel Barroso. Well, he decided to join Goldman Sachs. And the President Hollande said is morally unacceptable. He was asked about this in an interview, and he said that Goldman Sachs was implicated in the financial crisis that began with the U.S. subprime mortgages and in helping Greece cover up its debt. He says, and we find out several years later that Mr. Barroso will join Goldman Sachs. It's legally possible, but it is morally unacceptable. And this was announced last week that the head of the European Commission from 2004 to 2014 would serve as a non-executive chairman of the international unit. And again, this is just, you know, they're so intermingled, so between, you know, your investment banks, government, the Federal Reserves, the central banks. And, you know, this guy is just not alone. And, you know, we forget, you know, Robert Rubin was another former Goldman Sachs chief and U.S. Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton, the Bank of England Governor Mark Carney, the European Central Bank President Mario Draghi, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York of New York, President William Dudley. I mean, they're all Goldman Sachs alumni who go on to set monetary policy. So, you know, one of my favorites is Neil Kashkari, or something similar to that. Neil Kashkari, I believe it is. He went from a aerospace engineer to a VP at Goldman Sachs to Treasury Department. He oversaw TARP, if anybody remembers TARP, the Troubled Assets Relief Program. Then he goes into politics, and then he ends up in the Federal Reserve. It's just, even Prime Minister Tony Blair, the former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, he was a senior advisor to J.P. Morgan Chase. It goes to Germany and everywhere else. So, we talk about our politicians here and the relationship. It's everywhere, folks. It's
criminal enterprise.
Yes, it is.
That's what it really comes down to. And it is of a criminal enterprise, a criminal conspiracy of a global nature. Used to be that your criminals were confined. They were local. You had Al Capone working Chicago. But he wasn't working San Francisco and New York and Miami. Nowadays, good criminals, they don't work locally. They may have a local branch and the rest of that sort of thing. I don't deny that. I would expect that. But the movers and shakers, the criminals, are working on a global, international basis. And all of them think they're above the law, and the only thing they worship and love is money.
And when folks don't understand how this can continue, this is why. This is why you have 18.5 on the Dow that reverses itself and a stronger dollar and how things can keep going. This is part of it. This is probably a big part of how things continue to go. And I think we have a caller, Al.
Yes, we do. Hmm? It's Yvonne. What up, Yvonne? How you doing?
So far, so good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I was just listening to you guys, but I guess you don't talk about, what's happening in the world, but I don't know.
Well, you were just talking about what was happening in France.
Well, how about this coup in Turkey? A military
don't know a thing about
taking,
it. What's going on in Turkey?
Military coup, according to The Guardian, military coup took over or parts of the government. So I just thought I'll,
No, I hadn't heard a thing about it.
When you check Drudge or check anti-war site or any of these, they all are coming up with the latest.
So who do you think is motivating this coup, and why do you think it's taken place? Do you have an opinion? Is this purely internal to Turkey? We've got some Turkish military people who said this government's going the wrong direction. We got to stop it. Or are they being influenced by outside forces that are saying, "You guys, why don't you guys take over the government?"
It could be outside forces. I mean, we have some forces in the Middle East who thrive on on coups and killings and so on, ISIS and others, controlling ISIS and fund them,
It says the Turkish military says in a statement that it has taken over.
Right.
The Turkish military. And let's see. But this is just recently happening that we're getting for the times that I've seen, 431, 428. I'm sure it started a lot earlier. The Guardian has reports that the UN has emailed staff saying a coup attempt is underway. The Turkey PM says attempted coup underway by military group. The Turkish military says in a statement that it has taken over. That was according to Reuters. And there was an illegal act by a group within the military that was acting out of the chain of military command. Our people should know that we will not allow any activity that would harm democracy.
So which way are these guys likely to go? Are they likely to side with Russia? Are they likely to side with the United States? Syria, where are they going with this? Do you have any idea, Yvonne?
Well, the only thing what recently took place was they had recently agreed with Israel to mend fences.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
I don't know. This just happened about a month ago or 3 weeks ago that they, or 2 weeks ago, they signed or were on the way in signing a Israel, a Turkey,
But it sounds like this coup, if I had to guess, it sounds like this coup was motivated by Muslim religion more so than anything else. It's a reaction, perhaps, to Turkey becoming, from their perspective, too secular. They're willing to do business with Israel, and perhaps some Muslims in the military said this has got to be stopped.
So it's not siding
with Russia per se, not siding with the United States per se. It's
right.
In fact siding with ISIS, maybe.
Well, I don't know about
ISIS. Certainly the Muslim faith.
Maybe with Muslim, because ISIS is created by Saudi and Israel, so we know that. We know about al-Baghdadi, who is the head honcho of ISIS. You probably studied him.
Nope, I haven't.
You haven't? Okay. Well, he is of Jewish parents. He's Jewish, and they created ISIS, okay?
Well, I've heard that the United States, the CIA, created ISIS. I don't know to believe.
Well,
you hear all kinds of things. All I can say is I wasn't there. I wasn't in the Middle East. I don't know for a fact. I know I understand some of the reports, and I have certain suspicions, but the truth of the matter is I don't know what's going on there, not for an absolute fact.
Well, Mossad is definitely involved, with CIA is involved, but it's the other thing is they never attacked anyone or any Israeli areas or whatever. In fact, when they are wounded on Golan Heights, they fight against the Hezbollah on Golan Heights. They are treated in Israeli hospitals. This is the ISIS people who fight to try to knock out Hezbollah out of the Syrian part of Golan Heights. That's where the major fighting was there, and it's still going on. But if they are wounded or killed or whatever, they are treated at the hospital, Israeli hospitals. So that was written, in papers.
If ISIS is the creation of Israel or the CIA.
And CIA, right.
Okay, what exactly is ISIS intending to do? What are they trying to accomplish? And who are they fighting against?
ISIS was created in order to...
President Assad?
To destroy... One is to certainly they destroyed, Iraq is pretty well in shambles, Libya is in shambles, thanks to Clinton, and so is Syria and Iraq and Libya. And what it is for the region of what's being called Israel or Greater Israel, and the flag of Israel has two blue lines, right? And the center is a star, David?
Yes.
Do you know what the two blue lines represent?
I have no idea.
Okay. One is Nile, and the other one is Euphrates.
Okay, I get it. So they intend to own all the land between those
land
two blue lines.
Right. So they created this so they can... make an upheaval in the Middle East and now in Europe by, throwing all these, they are not immigrants, but they are, they are not even refugees. There are very few Syrians, really, because they want to stay in Syria. They don't want to be going to Europe and so on. Most of the troublemakers come from Africa. And that's what... they are pushing now. There was Turkey supposed to have stopped this move of because NATO, EU gave them, I don't know, €2 billion or whatever to hold the refugees, you know, a halt of the refugees in the in Turkey, in order to not to allow them to continue to Greece and Germany and so on. And of course, we know what happened in Paris again. So I think this is there are two prongs. One is to destabilize the Middle East by ISIS, and secondly is to use ISIS throughout the world to destabilize and destroy white Christianity in Europe, and eventually here in the U.S. too. But that is a program, okay? Once, because Christianity was a very strong...
It's a cultural influence. I mean, Pat Buchanan wrote a book where he described Christendom. And he's saying essentially that all modern civilization is traced to Christendom, and what he meant by that, the Christian nations of Europe.
Right.
And he's right. Yeah. Whatever passes for civilization today, China has adopted many of the principles that evolved from Christendom. So did Japan. Other countries have done the same thing, and now they're trying to tear it down. And they have some idea that they can survive without that culture and make the world, or maybe they don't even intend to make the world prosperous.
No,
but they certainly
don't
intend to get rid of Christendom.
No, a new world order wants one power, and the rest of them are worker bees, okay? And that's
We've
what
got
they
about,
want. They
got
want
about
to 20
seconds
down
left,
Europe.
Yvonne.
Yeah.
Got to wrap it up in 20 seconds, so give us a couple of closing remarks, and we will be on
I
our
just
way.
I think we have to keep an eye on Turkey, what happens, and I think there will be more attacks in Europe. So.
All right, we'll watch for it. And if you're wrong, what do you owe us?
Well, let me see. Let me count the ways.
Quick.
We are running out of time, so I can't.
Likely story. All right, Yvonne, we'll talk to you another time. Well, and I hope you folks, the rest of you, will tune in again another time. Melody and I will be back next Monday. Have a good weekend. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Yvonne. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. Money, money, always sunny in a rich man.